Thank you. As many of you know, Ray had surgery this last week, and he's not able to be here. And hopefully what they have done will correct his issues right now. But he has several other issues, and we really need to be praying for Ray Merritt and Kathy. Ray's home, Newton, and he wasn't feeling well. Keep him in your prayers, if you will. Diane had a cataract removed, and that was successful. She'll be having another one coming up here on the 26th. Keep that in prayer. So we are grateful for the power of prayer, aren't we? And for what it does for us. Keep Dina in your prayers, and Robbie, they are dealing with an incident in their lives right now, and they need you to support them and to be with them and behind them. Last week, we introduced you to walking in the newness of life. You know that Romans chapter 6, Chris, is a dynamic of that. The point of it is, it says that we were raised from the dead through the glory of the Father so we too might walk in newness of life. The word new in the Greek is the aspect of being something far superior in the aspect of value, distinctive in its very nature. Nothing could compare to what it is new. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5, 17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new things have come. It says very clearly that if a person has been baptized, do you not know? The Corinthians evidently were ignorant of the aspects of all that took place when they were baptized into Jesus Christ. Paul includes himself in that all of us, himself included, have been baptized into Christ Jesus. So when a person is scripturally baptized, they are being, and they should know, that they are being grafted into the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, the church. They're added by God to the body of Christ. Acts 2 says that the Lord was adding daily such as those who were being saved. The point of issue is in Romans chapter 11, Bible tells us that God cut off the natural branch, which were the Jews, and then he grafted in the unnatural branch, the Gentile. The point of issue is that it says if we have been, let's see, go down a little bit more here, if you will. If we have died with Christ, let's say, being raised and never to die again. No, it's not there. Go back. I'm sorry. That's all right. We're playing that. If, all right, there we go. If we have been united with him. See that word, united? That's the same Greek word translated grafted. Placed into. You're baptized in, not into some church, to become a member of a denomination or whatever. Biblical baptism in the Bible, everyone knew at that time, the Corinthians should have known, that when they were baptized, they were being baptized into Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. That means you've been clothed with him. You've been clothed with his righteousness. The aspect of becoming a new creature is the divine work of God. It's not something you do at all. It is what God does. It's what God does in the inner man. You are a spirit being, so am I. And that aspect is God is a spirit. They who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So Paul uses this word to get us to see that this new creature, this new newness of life is something you should desire. It's far beyond what you could imagine. It's far beyond what you could experience in the natural world. It is a divine work of God in the inner man. The word creature, as it's given, is in the noun form, showing that this is a direct creation of God. This is a direct creation of God. In the beginning, God created. So what is God doing in your life? He's taken something that is absolutely nothing, dead, in sin, and it's going to create and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, and very clearly in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, that we are his workmanship. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. God is the creator, and he is at work in us, and he is creating us into this element of becoming new creatures, walking in the aspect of the newness of life. And the passage is the most beautiful thing that you and I could get from the context of Scripture. Paul said in Philippians 1:6, he says, I am confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perfect it, mature it, develop it into the day of the coming of Jesus Christ. Dad referred to the coming. So God's at work in you. Let's think about God, as we will here in a minute, as a surgeon. And God's going to operate upon your life. He's going to cut off the old man. He's going to sever and crucify you and put you to death so that you do not live anymore in the eyes of God. God is a spiritual surgeon. By his hands, he operates on the inner person, spiritually speaking. And when he does that, that is all the essence of God's great work of making you a new creature. You're not the same person when you come up out of the water that you were when you went into the water. You were put to death. You don't live anymore. It is Christ now who lives in you. The aspect of that is unbelievable. Titus 3:5, Paul refers to this act of God in these words. He states and talks about the work of God as the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Washing of regeneration. The word regenerate is an act of God. It's a divine act of God, but what it means is to bring about a renewal. It's about making something that was dead alive again, suggesting that it's a living organism that's dead and needs to be revived. Only living organism, only organism that can die can be made back to life again. The only organism in your body that if it dies can't be renewed again is the cells of your brain. Every other aspect of your body is renewable. It can reproduce. It can, and it then renew itself. It can heal. Okay? So as living organisms, you and I, spiritually speaking, have been operated on by God. The old man, the body of sin that was enslaving us, he has cut it off, severed it. He has now put and granted into you and me a new spirit. And by the Spirit, you and I were risen up, raised up with Christ to walk in a new life. In a new life. Regenerated. To be made in completely aspect of revived from being dead, and the scripture says, dead in sin, but now alive unto Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:5, Paul says, when we were dead in sin, he made us alive together again in Christ Jesus. To make one alive is the word regenerate. It's to bring back the life. It's to revive that which was dead. And so God is the divine regenerator. He's the one who grants life and gives life and is going to and accomplishes that work. I believe that's exactly what Jesus meant in John 3 when he said, except a man be born again, born again, born again. What, could I go back into my mother's womb? Not at all. Not at all. Baptism is a womb. It's a womb of water where persons, because they have believed in Jesus as the Son of God and have truly saw that their sins crucified God's Son, as have willingly of their own will repented and turned to God with the intent that they need to have their sins forgiven, have them washed away by the blood of Jesus, the washing of regeneration. Where is life? Exodus says life is in the blood. Now, what it says? So everyone, remember, Paul said to Ananias, said to Saul, why are you waiting? Why are you tarrying? Arise and be baptized, and what? Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Water doesn't wash away your sin. Blood does. But blood also grants life. And so when one is scripturally immersed into Jesus Christ, they're immersed into what? They're immersed into his death. We're buried with him in the death. Where did Jesus shed his blood? Somehow you and I got to get the idea that God is able to take what Jesus did on the cross thousands of years ago and apply it to one who is now being obedient and biblically being immersed into the death of Christ. And one has to have faith. He has to believe that that's exactly what's taking place. You don't see the blood, but you have to have faith that when God says he's going to wash your sins away, forgive you, you have faith to believe that that's exactly what God's going to do. And every sin you've ever committed is going to be washed away. And the old person, that person you were that was enslaved or had sin, God's going to do away with them. Says, if you've been night in the likeness of his death, we shall be in the likeness of it, knowing that the old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be done away with, so we'll never have to live in sin and be enslaved to it again. As he says here, for he who has died is freed from sin. Isn't that true? My dad's dead. He was a Christian, become a deacon, man of God. I'll never forget the transition of the regeneration that took place in his life. God made him a new man. But he's dead. But there's one thing I can guarantee you. He's not sinning. He's dead. So therefore, consider yourself to be indeed dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's where you interact with what God is going to do. Well, let's take this element and let's put it into context. Because the Bible teaches us that God is a surgeon. Did you know that in Ezekiel chapter 36, 26? Ezekiel 36, 26, God said, referring to the coming of the new dispensation, the new covenant, God said these words, "Moreover, I will give them a new heart." You call that heart transplant. God's going to give them a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within them. God gives us a new heart. God puts a new spirit in us. That's surgery, isn't it? That's operating upon a person's life. God then, by the spiritual sense, as a spiritual surgeon, is going to cut off, open up the person, if you will, and place into them his heart. And we're going to have a heart transplant. And he's going to grant you and me his spirit. And our bodies will become the spirit of the living God. He's going to renew us in the aspect of doing that. And so God says in his word that he will give us a new heart, and he will put a new spirit in us. Paul said it a little differently in the book of Colossians, but go there with me. Don't leave Romans, leave it up there. In the book of Colossians, Paul writes to the church at Colossae, he says these words in verse 9 and following. It says, "For in him," that's Christ, "all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him," in Christ, "you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hand, and the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Now isn't that about what he said here in Romans? The old man is cut off, the body of sin is done away with. Paul called it circumcision. What did they do when they circumcised the baby boy? They cut off the flesh. Here, God is spiritually circumcising us, cutting off the flesh, cutting it off so we wouldn't have to be a slave to it anymore, bringing his own power and his own spirit within us. We share with that what happens after surgery is the healing process, right? That recuperation. The Bible calls that sanctification. So God does the surgery. You then receive the Spirit of God into you to help you and to heal what happened to you in the slavery of sin, to cut off the old man, the body of sin, the flesh, so you don't have to be a slave to it anymore. And it's an ongoing process of healing, and will go on until Jesus comes. You are always in a sanctifying concept of God's healing and helping you to overcome in this life and the aspects of sin as it be. But he goes on here and says, the circumcision of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. What does verse 12 say? Having been, past tense, having been buried with him in baptism. Isn't that what he says here? In which you also then were raised up with him through faith in the operation of God, or the working of God. The King James uses the word operation. That it's God's hands that does the circumcision. It's God's hands that cut off. It's God's hand that puts to death the old person and crucifies them. So they did not Paul say, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, is Christ who lives in me. You were to have died. The old man, the person before your baptism, is gone, washed, completed, forgotten. You rise to walk. Your memory should take you no farther back than your baptism. What happened before your baptism is washed away by God. And you, if you don't take the baggage off and the past off, and this is what Paul said, one thing I do, I forget the things that are behind. Did he have a behind to forget? Yeah, he did. But he couldn't press on to the high calling of God and mature and go on until he did that. The aspects of this is unbelievable. So as Paul shows, that regenerating power by God is placed and comes to bear when having been baptized, buried with him, that is with Christ, in baptism, he then raised you up. You ever notice that in Romans here? Okay. Notice, he says and talks about the baptism into death, right? Talks about we are raised from the dead. Get that? The death, the resurrection. There is assumed there's going to be a death. What comes next? It's simultaneous. You take a person, you bury them into the death of Jesus. They are going to die. How quickly do they come back up? Huh? Very quickly. Right? Huh? Just a matter of seconds. You bury them into the death of Jesus Christ, then you raise them up. You're raised up by the power of God through the Holy Spirit being given to them, quickening their inner man, making them alive together again with Christ, and they begin to walk in a new life. No longer to subject themselves to the slavery of sin. What I did, what you did, is you put your faith in God's ability to operate. You put your faith in what God did in baptism, not what you did. In fact, you didn't do a thing. You were very passive in being immersed. You let somebody else do it to you. Isn't that interesting? God's commanded me to go into all the world, make a disciple, and baptize them, right? By the authority or in the authority of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? And when you come to believe in death, you believe in what God has commanded and that he'll do. As Peter said on Pentecost, they cried out, men, what shall we do? Peter said what? Do nothing? Peter said, oh, just got to believe that what God did for you on the cross is sufficient and he'll transfer it to you? Or did he give them commands? Did he say repent and be baptized, each and every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for what? For the giving of the washing away of your sin, and you will receive the renewal. You will be raised from the dead. You will receive the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, that's the Holy Spirit that gives life, isn't it? Isn't the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? According to Romans chapter 8. And if you do not have the Holy Spirit, the Bible says you don't belong to God. That's what it says. So in Romans Acts 5:32, it says that the Holy Spirit was being given to those who obeyed God. The only commands I see in the Bible that connects with the gift of the Holy Spirit is repent, be baptized, Acts 2:38. I'm sorry. I'm not going to preach anything other than what Peter preached. Why is that? Because before Jesus ascended to heaven, he said to Peter, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. So what Peter said on Pentecost had already been spoken, bound, and confirmed in heaven itself. That's what it says. So when I think of all the things that is so simple, so basic, the aspect of it, for is he, and we become united, grafted into Christ in the likeness of his death. We died. And if we did die, if is a conditional clause, if you have been planted, like King James says, into the likeness of his death, if you have been, then you will be raised up in the likeness of his resurrection. What does the Bible say? Well, his resurrection, knowing that the old self was crucified with him, order that the body of sin might be done away so we no longer be a slave to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Is that clear? Is that so hard to understand? Is understand that why we would read in Colossians that it says very clearly that it's through faith in the working of God. Faith in the working of God. It's faith in what God promises he will do if we obey his word and do what he has asked us to do. It's very simple. 1 John 3:14 speaks of the Christian as having passed out of death into life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe that? See, I don't believe Bud died. I don't believe Julius is dead. I don't believe anyone that's in Christ had died. I believe they're just as much alive today as they were when they walked in this fleshly body. For them to have died is simply to go home and be with the Lord. Isn't that what this book teaches? Huh? And the aspects of that is I've already experienced that. I'm already living an immortal life. I'm already eternal. I'm already eternal. I have the eternal love of God, the eternal spirit of God. I was born again of this incorruptible, eternal seed of God that was planted into my heart. And when God operated, he put a new heart in me. I believe that with all my heart. I know I've seen it. I've seen hearts transformed. I've seen them change. I've seen people's lives renewed. New creatures. The whole life is different. Their attitudes are different. The way they interact with people is different. Because the love of God begins to pour forth from their heart through the Holy Spirit that he has given them. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. You know that? And there should be no person living on the face of this earth more loving than one of God's children. We have received the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness. And against such, there's no law. Aren't you glad you're alive? Don't you rejoice in that today? As Brother Ted mentioned to this, when we come around this table, what are we doing? We're proclaiming the Lord's death until he come. That's all it is. And so I'm alive forevermore. So are you. Why? Because he lives. Not because of anything I have done, but because of what God has done on my behalf. And so I receive that grace. I receive that through faith. Because I have nothing to boast about. I can only thank him for what I know he promised to do, and by my faith, I believe he did what he said he would do. I do. I have no doubt in it. And so God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to pay my, to purchase my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future, and life is worth a living. Just because he lives. Amen? Live life. live it. Like I begin last week's sermon, we don't need to add years to our life. We need to add life to our years. I'm alive. I'm almost 80 years old. You bet you don't believe that, do you? You're going to say, when are you going to start acting your age, right? And I'm going to tell you, never. Never. I believe God gave me a young heart, and I'm going to keep it young, okay? Best way I can do that is to tell a few jokes. I went into Walgreens the other day, and they threw a bottle of omega-3 at me. And I'm glad, because what I found out is that it was... Anybody want to tell me what it was? Come on. Sandy, you don't remember? Okay. You ever forget a joke? Do you? Well, anyway, it was fish oil, but it was... Artificial oil. That's what it was. Thank you, Chris. Artificial oil. Okay. What was that all about? You know? Hey, we can't pretend to be a Christian. We either are or not. We are the real thing, or we're not the real thing. And people are looking at the church today, and they're wondering how in the world that Christianity make any difference in our world, because they see so many Christians who deny the power of God within themselves, and they live lives that don't substantiate what God's word teaches. We need to be the real thing. People need to look at us and know that we have been with Jesus. Okay? That's who we need to be. And God has the power to make you and continue to make you new creatures. Every day, according to 2 Corinthians 5, you are being renewed in the inner man. Isn't that great? Get up every day, another day, and I'm going to live it to its fullness through the power that God gives me. Live it. Live your life. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your marriage. Enjoy one another. And just be true. Be sincere. Be earnest in who you are. Don't be ashamed that you're a Christian. Because someday you're going to spend eternity with the Father in heaven. Amen? Yes, you are. So we're going to stand. We're going to sing our closing hymn today. And the aspect of that is phenomenal. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.